Hi, Martina. I'm covering for Heather today, and I just wanted to make sure you were still ready to present.
Yes, hello. Can
Okay,
you hear me
hi.
okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perfect. Oh, may I test to share my screen
Yes,
quickly?
absolutely. Yes.
Great. Just a second. So that if you can. Okay.
Yes, I'm seeing
And
Folio settings.
can you see the drop down?
Yes, I can.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. So I will stop sharing
Okay,
and
perfect.
I know what to do.
All right,
Thank
awesome.
you.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, everyone. I am covering for Heather today. I'm going to give it a couple more minutes to see if more people get in. All right. So as I said before, I'm going to be covering for Heather today. I think Dennis is also out, but we do have some items on the agenda. As a housekeeping item to begin with, the serial subgroup had their first meeting. I believe that was last Friday. And I did go ahead and post the recording to the agenda. And you can also find on the subgroup page, the recording will be there as well. So this is on the main agenda and meeting notes page, there's this acquisition SIG subgroups section, and you can find the serial subgroup information here if you're interested in looking for that. So today we're actually going to start with Martina from HBZ, and she is going to demo and explain functionality of number generators in organizations and receiving. So if there's anyone new who wanted to introduce themselves first, or if anyone had anything to just mention for the good of the group. Otherwise, we'll start with Martina. All right, Martina, I think if you want to go ahead and share your screen.
Sure. Give me just a second. I will share my screen. Okay, you should see now Folio Eureka snapshot. And so hello everyone. My name is Martina Tumula and I'm working at HBZ, a publicly funded library service center in Cologne, Germany. And thank you for this agenda slot. And I would like to show you today the number generator functionality and how to set up sequences and talk a little bit about preconditions for using number generators and of course how to use number generators then within organizations and receiving apps. So first of all, I would like to start with precondition because if you would like to use the number generators, you need to at least, for example, one sequence, you need permissions and so on. So I will start with service interaction in settings. This is actually an area designed for more than just the number generator settings, but for other functionality in the future, which needs then settings. The dashboard is using the backend of service interaction, but the dashboard does not need settings in settings. So you only see number generators right now here. And this is actually a wonderful overview of number generators of those who are using the concept, the same concept. And this project is funded by the University of Leipzig. And K-INT did the development, and Leipzig did the integration work then into the apps. So thank you, Leipzig, for all your resources. And so which fields are we talking about? As I said, this is a wonderful overview. So there are three fields in inventory and in receiving. So they are both using the same number generator. So one is there for accession number, one is there for call number, and one for item barcode. And topic today, of course, code in organizations. And then we do have a user barcode in users. And those five are within our project. But now you see open access and serial management as well. And those are, of course, acquisition topics. They use the concept as well as a number generator, but slightly differently. So it's automatically assigned, and you need only one sequence. And it's more like a pattern number, an ID number, request number. While the other five, you can have more than one sequence. You can choose the sequence, and then trigger or generate the next number. This is a wonderful overview of how many sequences they are already predefined for each of those number generator you see here, for example, five or four, seven, and so on. So this is a wonderful overview for those who managing those sequences. So these are the number generators, and now I switch to number generator sequences. So what is a sequence? A sequence is actually how you define how your number will look like. It will be an incremental number, an increasing number, and you can have prefixes and suffixes, and if you would like, then check digits as well. So, and the first thing you would do is to actually switch or select your number generator. You would like to manage your sequences, and we will start with the code in organizations. And of course, those are examples here to show you to demonstrate a little bit also the search and the filter functionality. But usually you would start with new on top of here to set up new sequences. But instead of showing you how to set up a new one, I will go into one of already existing ones, an example, because you can edit those afterwards, after you created one. And it's the same window with the same fields. So I will go through the fields now, except the checksum settings. I will explain those later on when we go more into the receiving app area and the number generators there. So the first field is the name. And again, those are examples here. So the name is important because you will use it or you will search for this sequence when you use the number generator, for example, in organizations or then in receiving or inventory or users. So you will search for the name or the code, which is here. And you see, for example, the code is disabled because we are editing one of those sequences. And this code is important, and you cannot change it afterwards because this is the identifier. And we need this identifier for this sequence, for the connection between the apps and for the back end and behind the scenes, for example. So you cannot change it afterwards, but you can search the code when you select. I will show you at the end how to use the number generator for code in organizations, and then it's more clearer. So we do have a little checkbox down below. This is enabled. So this sequence is active. And it can be selected, it can be generated from. You can disable a sequence, then it will be hidden, and it will be hidden in the UI of organizations app or the others. And it will be frozen. So, but you can enable it again, and then it will start counting again where it had left off. So continue counting. Apart from if it's not at its maximum, so then you cannot generate numbers. We do have a delete option as well. This is here around the action menu button. So you can delete sequences and you can disable sequences. So, but if you're in doubt, then I would just suggest to disable first. You can always delete afterwards. So I will skip the note field. I think I don't have to explain this one. So the next one is the sequence settings. So this is a these are four fields, and you don't have to use them. They are not mandatory. I know you see an asterisk as format, but I will explain. So the first field is the maximum value. In this case, 3 digits long, so 999. And this is the maximum value of this sequence. And as I mentioned before, we do have a format field here with now an asterisk. Now it's become when you do a maximum value, then you need to populate the format field. And what you're seeing here is it's 3 digits long, and it has so the format field, other way around, the format field is there for padding the numbers, so usually the zeros in front. If you don't want to have zeros in front, then you use the hash sign or the number sign. So if you would like to have the zeros in front, then you would use three of those zeros, so matching with the 3 digits in the maximum value. And in that case, the next number would be the 001 instead of only a zero. So this is the maximum value and the format field. So again, maximum value for the maximum, and the format field is for the padding, zeros in front or not. Then we do have another field here, warning threshold value. So you see I pre-populated it with a 995, so below the maximum value. So when the sequence is reaching the 995, then I get little warnings. We will see later on. To let me know that the sequence only has a few numbers left. And if it reaches its maximum, in this case, 999, then you cannot generate numbers from this sequence anymore. So if you get warnings, or if you would like to have warnings, then you can say, okay, I can take some more actions. I need to have a new sequence or another solution. And again, you don't have to use this warning functionality here. And then there is the field of the next value. You usually start with one, But there could be use cases where you have already used a sequence in your older system, or you already had numbers assigned. And then you can take the next value as the starting point of yours. So you could say, well, the last number of my sequence was 355. And in that case, you would start with 356 as a next value. You don't have to, you usually start with one, but we are very flexible in this case. So these are all the four fields in the sequence settings. And now I jump to the output settings. And this is, or the output template is how the number will look like. You see a token here. This is the generated number, which refers to the sequence settings. So this is actually the incremental number, the increasing number. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as a token. And then you can add, for example, a prefix here. You could add, because it's an example for bookstores, maybe. And you can add suffixes. You don't have to use the minus. You could just, it's an example. So this is how the number will look like when we generate the number from this sequence. So then I will save and close. And I will get back to this table and explain a little bit more. Now, well, of course, we have now seven example sequences here, and you don't need to search because the table is small enough. But just imagine for call numbers, there could be much more. And then you would like to search, for example. So you have sequences, a sequence search here with a search box, and you can search in name, code, in the note field, and the output template. And you will see your results here, seven found in this case, in this little bubble. And we do have two filters. One is enabled, all true and false. So I have actually an example for the false, so the deactivated one, which then I named it deactivated, which then won't be shown in the app UI. And then we do have the user status, and this is referring to the warning threshold value. And you see here the user status column, and you see, for example, this one is at maximum, so it ha doesn't have any numbers left. And this one, for example, is over the warning limit, and you get a little warning here, and the others are below. But you don't have to use those fields. So, and these are examples here, then the fields are empty here. So it won't be calculated. And then you have, for example, the filter, and you can filter here as well. So again, we have only seven, so you have the whole table, but we have a pagination of 25, so then it makes sense to search. So this is precondition one. We need at least one sequence to generate numbers from. And then I will switch to the organiza settings organizations. And this next precondition number two, is that you need to enable the number generator for code in the settings of organizations. And this is a drop down here, and the default is off, so you need to enable it. And we do have two options. One is field editable. This is very flexible. You can type in the field, you can use the number generator, you can use the number generator and add, for example, or delete or things, very flexible. And the other option is very restricted, so you can only use the number generator and you cannot ch change or edit the change, yes, but edit the number. So then I will choose this one. And of course, I need to save. So this was precondition two. And this you will only do once in the beginning of the activation for the number generator. Then precondition number three are permissions or capability sets nowadays. For the settings, you need, of course, a certain permission or capability set. And of course, you need, for example, when I switch to the organizations app and the new to create a new organization, you need, of course, the normal, the appropriate create, edit, delete permissions, plus, in addition, one permission that you can use the sequences. This is all docu the permission or the capability sets is all documented in the documentation on the official documentation website or in the wiki. So, and you probably saw it. We do have a wonderful button down here next or below the code field. And this is actually how you would use the number generator. And now you see five of those seven we saw in the table before. Why five? One is at maximum, and the other one was deactivated. So deactivated, you cannot search. It is hidden. You cannot select. The at maximum is not shown in the first place, but we do have a little checkbox down below. So when I click this, then you will see all sequences at maximum. You cannot select those and you cannot generate from. But the use case would be, oh, well, maybe last week I had this sequence and I ch choose it or chose it. But now I cannot find it. Oh, in the meantime, it reaches the, at maximum, so it's more informational. The other checkbox here is exact code match. If you would like to search for the code of the sequence, but this needs to be exact. So in this case, as an example, did not find, but this is the exact code match for this sequence, for example. So as you see, the here in bold is the name. Next to it, it's the code, and then it's the next value, the number which will be generated. And then you get little hints. This one will be is close to its maximum, for example. And of course, as I've shown before, at maximum would be another hint as well. So that you would select one and you generate then the number. And then it will be inserted into the code field. And in our case, it is editable, so you can add to it. And of course, this is only an example. So we do have the prefix book, then the incremental number, and the suffix for this example to show you that you can actually use the output template to define your structure and for those codes. Okay, and of course, well, you need to type in mandatory fields and then save and close. And then you see the code here. And it's important that you, when you generate a number, that you re really save your record because otherwise a gap is produced. So you need always to save the record. So this is actually the functionality for organizations, but I promised to do a little bit more explanation around check digits. And therefore, I will go back to settings. I will go back to service interaction and to the sequences. And again, here you need to select your sequence, your generator, and we'll go into item barcode, for example. And I will just click on one of those examples and go into edit mode to show you. So I explained the sequence settings and the output settings, but not the checksum settings. Why? Because you don't have to use the checksum settings, but you're welcome to do so. So, and a check digit, or the use case for check digits, are maybe more on the barcode number side, not on the organization code or on others. So we have two fields for the checksum settings. The one is the method, and we have six methods here for selection, and probably Loon as the most known. So you could choose one of those. And then you have the input template, and you see the same token for the incremental number, the sequential number, which is defined here in the sequence settings. And this now is a very complex example because we do have a two in front of here and the three in the back. Very complex, but to show you what this field is all about. So this field is for calculation purposes. So we have the generated number. In this case, it's 5 digit long. And the next one would be this one here, the 42568. And in front, there will be a two, and in the end, three. And the whole number, so this one, is now for the calculation. That means the Loon calculation will go over all of those and then produce a check digit. The input template is only for calculation purposes. The output template is for the display, for how the number will look like. And in this case, we have the two here and the three. Because it is, well, we would like to, this should be displayed with a number. But we also have a prefix, which is now the seven in our case. And this is the number which will be generated, plus there will be the check digit calculated with the method Loon in this case, and the input template information. And this is the token for the check digit. This is a little bit more complicated. And then I will go to the, oh, now we need to activate the number generators. So, and I go into orders for the receiving app. There you will find the number generator options, and we have all three fields: barcode, accession number, and call number. So you're very flexible. You can choose one, you can choose two or three number generators, and you can choose, for example, the barcode. It's not editable, for example, and the accession number, well, it's this one or this one. For example, then now we have all three activated and we will save this. So, and of course, we do have the appropriate permissions and then we go into receiving app. And here you have well, we have more than two options, but two options I would like to show you. The first one is that you can edit the piece record, and you have those three fields here under item details. And now you see a little icon here, which is generate numbers. And here you can click on, and now you get a window with all three search boxes for those sequences because we have enabled all three number generators. If you only had enabled the barcode, you would only see one, the barcode search field. For two number generators, you would see two search fields. So, and this is again the same as in organizations. You could choose those, and we will choose our complex example here for the barcode sequence. So, at least you need to choose one of those three. You can leave them empty, Two of those, for example, if you don't like to generate numbers right now. And of course, here's a little X where you can delete your selection. And then you generate your numbers. And then you see that those sequences or the next number will be shown or displayed here in all those fields. And for the barcode, we chose the not editable. So you see, you cannot change the content of the barcode. You can generate a new one, but you cannot, for example, delete one. And here you see this the seven as the prefix, then the two, which is included in the calculation, then the five digits of the incremental number, then the three as which was in the calculation, and the six in this case is our check digit. And for call number and accession number, those are the sequences and the next numbers. So, and of course, you need to save. And in this case, you can save and not, or well, you can do quick receive, but you can save it. And the other one is that you can go into the receive mode in this huge table. And there at the end, you find the same icon here and the same window. And so you can generate the numbers, but then you need to receive them to store, right? Otherwise, there will be gaps. So then we have one more little
Martina, I
tweak.
think Joe has his hand raised, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I did not pay any attention to
Oh no,
hands
it's okay.
or yes, Joe.
No, I just raised my hand. We should probably meet in the not too distant future because it has recently come to our attention. We are going to need to refactor that whole bulk receiving screen. We're going to have to
Yes.
rebuild it. So we will have to talk about how that should be incorporated because we're going to have to change the behavior of a lot of things.
Thank you for letting me know. Yes, please let me know. We can meet and chat
Okay.
and discuss and so on. Thanks. Okay, one more little thing to show, and before I will end, we have this little checkbox down here. Use the same generated number for accession number and call number. And if you check this, and of course, save, and we go into receiving again, then I will open up this. Then you see one search box for accession and call number sequence, which will use the accession sequences, and the same number will be then put into the call number and the accession field. So let's take one. So you see the same number is in both. This was a requirement because some libraries are using the accession number as the call number. So, but 100%. So, this was a little tweak and a little functionality we had. So, in this case, I did not choose the barcode within the little window here. But then you can actually do it again, only this one, because the other ones we have already. And then you can choose or select or sequence and have a barcode. So it is very flexible. And I hope I have not forget anything. So are there questions or feedback? No. So if there are questions, I see your hand, Joe. If there are questions afterwards, please let me know via Slack. Yes, Joe.
How does it handle the possibility of duplication? So, if you have two or three people who are receiving serials simultaneously, how does the barcode generator make sure that the same barcode is not assigned to two pieces.
I think kint did the functionality that this is not happening. So the same barcode at the same time. Owen, do you have a question?
Yeah, I don't know if this is a question for you, Martina, or a question for people on the call, but where we're generating, say, a lot of items for receiving from serials management, would it make sense for any of those things to be an option to generate the numbers at the point you create the items for the receiving item pieces from serials management, as opposed to doing it here as an edit or part of the receiving step, I guess, later?
I think this is a question for the group. When the number is generated or should be generated? Is there?
Maybe
Oh,
I should
sorry.
ask a different question. Does anybody on the call use any of these item details for serial items? Do you create items for serials? And if so, do you assign barcodes, call numbers, and accession numbers to them?
Yes.
Okay, so that suggests that it could make sense to do this when we generate the expected piece, as opposed to doing it later in the process. Or would this always only be done when you actually had the physical piece in your hand?
So when for the expected piece, we do include things like display summary, enumeration, chronology. We have things in the comment, all those fields, but we don't create the item at that point unless we've claimed it, unless it should have already arrived. Right. So, oh, and the expected receipt date is added too. So all that information gets input, but not a barcode, for example, because we generally don't create the item at that point. But if we do then create the item because we're trying to indicate that we should have had it by now, but we've had to claim it, then we create a barcode for it because we've created the item. Does that make sense? And I think we have to receive it at that point. So the expected piece, we don't add. I'm sorry, I'm being confusing, but I have to think it through. We have to receive the item to be able to create, or that's when we create an item, and we have to receive the piece, and that's when we create the item, and then that is when it would get a barcode, but not before. But the other information is there in the expected piece so that we know we are
Okay.
expecting it.
Okay. So it sounds like we might want to give some thought to whether that can be that these could be generated at the point we create them from serials management. And this also, I don't think Peter's on the call today, but I know that Peter has raised the question of they print labels for each serial that they receive. And that looks to me like maybe the call number would be the right thing to use for that. Because it's kind of a location marker that they use. So, okay, I agree, Joe. It could be a serial subgroup topic. Thank you.
But I agree, Owen, that this is an important question to raise because this is how we've now had this problem with, like, we just upgraded to ransoms, what I talked about last meeting, with the behavior having changed in this really dramatic way and affecting our workflows according. So how all this information interacts is really important to keep track of and to remember as we change things. As we, go through CSPs and flowers and so forth.
Are there other questions or feedback right now?
Martina, sorry, I missed the start of the meeting. Is which release is this in this integration?
Oh, thank you for pointing me to this. This is Sunflower. I
Thanks.
actually did not mention it before, so this is already available. Other questions? Otherwise, thank you so much for all the time. And today. And if you have questions or feedback, please let me know via Slack. Thank you. So, Kimberly?
Thank you, Martina. I think the next thing we had on the agenda was implementers topic number 185, added by Lisa. Is Lisa here today? Let's
I am
see.
here.
Hi, did you want to talk about that one today?
Sure.
I can share my screen maybe. Let's see. So I think it was discussing the changes with the expended line and the new credited line, and maybe having a line that puts them together. Is that?
Yes, that was exactly it. At our university, Folio is kind of a shadow system to the university's accounting system. And in their system, they don't break out credits or anything. They just have our allocation and our expenditure. And so I found myself doing calculations at the end of the fiscal year, always taking our expenditures and subtracting out the credits to see if we were matching up to the university's account. And so I thought it would be very convenient if we could have some sort of a line in the summary that put, kind of like the way it used to be, put the expenditures and credits together. As it doesn't, I don't mind it being broken out, but I would like to be able to see that information in both ways if possible.
That makes sense to me. Is there anyone else have thoughts on that? Joe, do you think that's a feasible thing to do?
Potentially. Yeah, I mean, that's the way we had it before, and then we had to change it. There are a couple of different approaches. Also exploring, I'm also exploring other financial reporting options, probably using the Lists app, but maybe doing like a modified thing of, I mean, yeah, th this is something we should be able to come up with. It's just a question of how. Like it's not a big deal. It's just, how do we do it so it's clear what we're doing and it's not confusing and a half, because this can quickly get very, very confusing. So I just need to think about whether it's a configuration piece or whether it's a second line or whether it's something we do through some sort of reporting app. But I mean, it's attainable.
I wonder if it would be helpful to actually look at finance and to talk about, like Lisa, where it would be most helpful to see this, and then that could help. Like, are we talking on the ledger level? Are we talking at the budget summary level? I think it would facilitate how quickly it can be implemented. I mean, I'm looking at the ledger now and thinking, oh yeah, maybe, along with cash balance, available balance, if there was another line that would kind of represent this, that the amount that you need, would that be simpler than trying to add it to the section that's called financial activities and overages, where the credit has now been broken out, right? Like, if we I think it's really hard to think about in the abstract about where it would be great to see this, or the easiest place for you, for example, to look at that
Yeah,
total.
I get what you're saying. In my case, I would like to see it at the group level, because our ledger contains our law library, which is on a different account number. So at the group level is where I'd find myself, doing this calculation every morning and comparing it to the operating statement of the account I was looking at. And I thought, I didn't used to have to do this. I didn't think about this as being a piece of breaking out credits. And so, yeah, I'm not sure what we would call it, but I was looking at the group level in my situation.
So I think that's a really helpful starting point, because both these sections, the group and the fund section, if you're on like the ledger and then you scroll down and you widen the third pane, there is all this empty space. So there actually does seem to be space there, and there's definitely things that I've also thought, oh, if I had this other summarized amount there, that would be so helpful, and as an overview. So I think that would be really great to have it there, as long as maybe it needs one of those little eyes where the term then is explained what it actually is doing, so that it's not confusing, right? So it's always so hard. But yeah, there's a difference between allocated, unavailable, and available to whatever total expenditure.
So this is
Oh,
Ramzan's
so
podcast. I don't know
I
if
was
that's
actually thinking
helpful.
on the ledger in the group area, because then you really have a total overview. On the ledger, then in the total overview, is that where? See, and
So,
that's the
sorry,
problem.
I'm
We
not
talk
super
about all
familiar
this.
with finance.
And if you scroll down and widen the screen, there's this group area and a fund area. So if those things are populated, then you have all these columns in those group and fund areas. I don't know. There's another one that we can choose. Because that's the other thing about finance, right? We talk about all these things. We say group, and then I was thinking here, and then Kimberly was thinking on the other segment. And so there's so many places where we can see all these things. Yeah, so like here, and then that whole area over on the far right is just totally l empty. Yeah. So Lisa, is this where you would like to see the summary, or is it that you actually want to see it on from the group segment?
To me, it doesn't matter where it displays as long as I can get to it. But it is in a group for sure. It's not the whole ledger.
I see there's some discussion of possible naming in the chat.
How
Joe, is
about
this something?
transacted? What about transacted as both credits and invoices are transactions?
I kind of like net expended myself.
Do we think net expended makes sense, or is this something that we would like to maybe do a poll on? Okay, it looks like there's a lot of thumbs ups for that in the chat. Joe, is this something you would like to revisit maybe once you have looked at the options you were talking about? Or do you feel like it would be possible to add to where it's been discussed?
I think it's generally straightforward. I think the easiest path forward just would be just to add a line to the financial summary pages. They all follow the same pattern, so if we just add it to the pattern, I think like just yeah, if we just add it to the pattern, then we don't have to worry about whether it's ledger or group or fund or whatever. It's just there.
But I don't want to have to click five deep to f see a thing, right? Like, so to me, it's like really helpful if it were at this level as an overview and browsable overview thing.
That's what I'm saying is put it on every
Okay.
screen. Put it on every screen instead of picking one.
Okay.
Well, thank you for thinking about this. I think it will be a time saver, especially at year-end time.
Absolutely. Okay. I did see if you feel like that covers that, Lisa, I did see another topic. 186. I don't know if we want to get into this one or if Marie is here.
Marie is not here, but me.
Okay. Did you want to discuss this one? I don't know. We have about 9 minutes left. Do you think you could cover it?
I can cover it. It's an easy one. It's just
Okay.
a new filter for the transactions. Because if you see all the zero encumbrances or like the gifts with zero money, it's a lot. And we just need a new filter to cover that.
I just have a comment that we actually ran across this and released all of our $0 encumbrances so that they would go away.
Okay. I will give that as a feedback to the others.
So is that a manual? Do you have to go in and release each encumbrance to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We
But
have to create the $0 encumbrance, though. Like you release it, the system is still going to remember that it's a zero, because when we have a null encumbrance, it creates issues in doing the math and doing some of the calculation. And that was part of the issue we had with fiscal year rollover and with some of the other funkiness that was causing earlier releases to have weird behavior with some of the financial transactions. So Damien basically figured out that we kind of have to have a zero encumbrance or zero value rather than a null value just to make the system work correctly. We can examine ways to optionally suppress it from view, but I'd have to look into that.
that will be great.
Sarah?
Yeah, but so suppressing from view is fine if optional, like that I can turn that on or off, but or filter it away or something. But I actually use my on my zero. All our ongoing orders are $0 encumbrances, and so I actually use then a way to see what I still have to pay as I get closer and closer to the end of the fiscal year by going, what are my unreleased $0 encumbrances? So I actually need that. So please don't make it go away automatically or something.
No. I was more saying we're hesitant to make too many changes to it, because what we've got now, I think, is fairly stable. We're still checking that. But yeah, releasing the encumbrance, making it go away so you can close it out is fine. But the encumbrance has to exist at some level. Once things are closed, we don't really care. But for rollover purposes, everything has to balance. I mean, once an order is closed, the encumbrance is zeroed out and we're moving forward to the next fiscal year, we don't care because it's not coming forward. But anything that we much care about.
We had gone in and removed them, released them because we were updating some funds and it wouldn't let us save the changes because there was something encumbered against the fund. So we just released them and it enabled us to update the fund. I understand that there's going to be a fix for that in the future.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're working on. Financial management is hard. It's really hard.
All right, we have about 4 minutes left. So, if there are any other thoughts on this topic or any other questions anyone wanted to bring forth. Okay, thank you all for joining today. And thank you, Martina, for the demo and everyone for your thoughts.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.